the GOP is going through an identity crisis right now. And it reminds me of 2008 after McCain lost. The form of the GOP existential navel gazing, the form that it's taking right now, it's interesting to watch in the sense that there's an event and a lightning rod that's conducing the conversation in the form of the impending Senate impeachment trial. Whereas in 2008, there was no event. There was just McCain lost, right? And the Democrats won the House, the Senate, and the executive branch in a filibuster-proof way. And so Bush ended in a disastrous way for the Republican Party. And now there's sort of a question mark. How will the Trump era end for the Republican Party? And it's looking similarly disastrous. And so really, I think the GOP right now is trying to figure out what is the identity of that party going to look like moving forward? Is factionalizing strategic? Is that going to be even more catastrophic? Minority parties, I guess it's fair to say the GOP is a minority party. They've only won the popular vote once in the last 8 cycles, right? So you could say that there's some minority energy there. Those parties, they tend to factionalize. The other thing that's worth noting is that conspiratorial thinking tends to proliferate amongst minoritarian parties, in part because it helps to justify one's losses, right? If there is some kind of covert, influential, but sinister organization that's responsible for one's position as being disempowered and victimized and marginalized, then that narrative can become really popular and powerful. And you're seeing folks like Representative Green kind of gain political power based upon how that message has resonated. Of course, in the Republican Party, Representative Green is just one poll. You have Cheney at the other end and McConnell at the other end. And I just see that there's a lot of confusion and a live debate and conversation about what the Republican Party is supposed to do next. To what extent do you expect the GOP to remain Trump's party moving forward?
Well, it is right now. McConnell seems like a central figure. He has been a central figure in the GOP for the last 20 years, but probably even more so now in terms of the direction that they move. He will be the most interesting figure outside of what the Republican House does with Representative Green and her committee appointments, and what kind of censure they place on her, or if they leave that up to the Democratic majority, whether and to what extent there is like continues to be these significant identifiable fractures within the party between traditional kind of moderate GOP versus Trump GOP. But how they situate themselves and then also like what they do and how they vote on things, those can look quite different. I mean, they could continue to be completely fractured in terms of the way they think about themselves and the way that they try and relate and try and court a voting base at the same time that they're all sort of united in voting against anything that the Biden administration tries to attempt in Congress in collaboration with the legislative branch. And the effects of that in terms of how the public interprets the Republican Party will be pretty interesting. And that's, you know, honestly, that's something that McConnell has quite a bit of experience. He was the one, I think, in 2008 that kind of managed the crisis within the party that you're talking about. And, you know, I think for any smart person who's paying attention to politics, I think it would be hard to say that he didn't succeed in managing what felt like at that time like an identity crisis. And they were sort of able to stitch things together to put a Republican president back in office at the end of Obama's administration.
It's interesting to hear you single out McConnell. I do think that he's a pivotal figure, especially in terms of the pending Senate trial, the impeachment trial, in the sense that if he decides that the party, in order to move on and find a new kind of identity that's going to bear some electoral success in 2022 and 2024, that they have to move on from Trump, they have to drop Trump and the base that he brings with him of 74 million voters, right? 74 million people voted for Donald Trump. And that's an amazing figure. But I do think that if McConnell decides that the impeachment trial should end in conviction for Donald Trump, then that it will happen. And he's perhaps the only senator who has that kind of agency right now. But at the same time, I'm also convinced that there's a big difference between populism on the left and on the right. And what I mean by that is party elites on the left, party elites in the Democratic Party, tend to have enormous influential sway, in particular over electoral outcomes. And you could as an example, point to Bernie Sanders twice. The last two times he ran for president, you saw sort of party elites step in, intervene, and prevent that outcome. And they were able to do so, right? They had that power, they had that capacity. But on the right, you can't say the same thing. McConnell and others in the Senate and the House, pivotal, you know, central figures, party elites, stepped forward and publicly disavowed Trump's candidacy during the Republican primaries in 2016. And it's almost as if it was because they did that, that they sort of guaranteed that Trump would be elected in the primaries, right? So so an interesting dynamic there at play. And I owe this insight to Perry Bacon Jr., who I think is very insightful about these kinds of questions. But I think that he's right about that. And yet I think you're right that McConnell has some kind of special status in terms of the impeachment trial, and that the impeachment trial's outcome, whichever way it goes, is going to be monumentally important for what direction the GOP goes in for the next decade. So it's just worth thinking about and, you know, considering, you know, what shape does populism take on the left? What shape does it take on the right? And what's the relationship to party elites on the left and the right? How different those things are in order to kind of figure out what's possible and what's likely.
Isn't it that we're talking about the difference between electoral politics and congressional politics, like in between election cycles? Because when we're talking about Trump, or you could go back, I think, to 2007 and the Obama-Clinton primary, where a version of what you're talking about, where it seemed like traditional guard for the Democrat was very much on the side of Clinton. And that was the very factor that seemed to kind of ignite and empower the Obama camp. There's obviously a lot of differences between Donald Trump and Barack Obama, but I do think that that's like maybe a bizarro version of what you're talking about, where there was a populist surge to Donald Trump's candidacy precisely because there was so much traditional power behind keeping him out. And he was able to leverage that. And I think that maybe Obama did that too in a different form, but maybe in to the same effect. But it's remarkable to me that McConnell, when it comes to like polling people on the popularity of Congress, the popularity of both the House and the Senate, it's like abysmal. And McConnell's like public popularity is like at the bottom. I mean, he's one of like the least popular people in the government. And yet he wins re-election to the Senate by 20 points or something. And so what's up with that? And I think that the difference between his success as a political leader within his party and within the Senate is very different than his impact on a presidential campaign or something. I think there's a reason why we've never seen or heard him entertaining the idea of any higher office beyond where he is. I think he's very successful in his current role. There's a difference between having success on the campaign trail and trying to get broad electoral success in American democracy, and then also kind of like managing the levers of power within the halls of Congress.
Yeah. To your earlier point, I think it'd be interesting to sort of test as a contingent definition of political charisma, the idea that political charisma is maybe knowing how and when to leverage anti-establishment sentiment. Right. In American politics, that's what charisma means on the left and on the right. So I think that ties into what you're saying earlier. In terms of Mitch McConnell, all I can say is, you know, there's a story I'm aware of about Mitch McConnell. He sometimes adjuncts in the political science department at the University of Kentucky, and he teaches kind of an intro to political science type of course. And notoriously, every time he teaches the course on day one, he walks into his classroom of students and he says, you know, there's just three things that matter in American politics. And he turns to the chalkboard and he writes those three things down: money, money, money. And that's Mitch McConnell. He's a master fundraiser. I mean, I think that that's key to his success. He's not especially charismatic. He's clearly not very good at leveraging anti-establishment sentiment. Okay, that's not his forte, but he has other fortes. And in particular, I think around fundraising and as a tactical sort of thinker and the micromanagement of power and administration of power, as you said, he's a master whip in the Senate. So those are the things that he does well. And I think that sort of helps to explain his positionality and perhaps why he finds himself now being the most pivotal figure in terms of the outcome of the impeachment trial, which, as I said, I think will really set the direction for what happens next. I suppose I see the talk of the pending Patriot Party less as a distinct possibility and more as a strategy for evading conviction in the Senate. I mean, if you talk a lot about how you're going to start a new party if you're convicted, because that's your only route to political power, that's probably enough to scare away X number of Republican senators from voting to convict you. It's probably smart strategically just to talk about the invention of a new party, but it won't happen because if the party factionalizes, it basically guarantees electoral losses for decades.
When it comes to impeachment, here's the thing that I find just like really fascinating. And it draws some of the lines that we're talking about in really like clear and stark ways. I would encourage listeners to just like think about what they would do if they were in Mitch McConnell's position. And I don't know if we've outlined this clearly on this program before, but here's the thing is that if impeachment is successful, it does provide a pathway for Mitch McConnell to get exactly what he really, really wants. And maybe what a lot of Republicans in the Senate and in the Congress really, really want, which is to distance themselves in a formal and consequential way from Donald Trump. I really think that they would really like to move on. There are a lot of reasons, including Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, that they would like to move on from like the Trump era and also try and keep as many of Donald Trump supporters as possible. And so impeachment does provide a pathway to formally excluding Donald Trump from running again in 2024 or from having any kind of like official capacity in the Republican Party. But in order to get there, all that exclusion would take is a 51 to 49 vote, which would probably be easy for them to achieve. However, in order to take that vote, they first have to convict him on the impeachment charge, which takes a two-thirds vote. And so to get to that two-thirds threshold, that's actually where it would take McConnell and a bunch of other Republicans, maybe Lindsey Graham, others that have not signaled that they're that much against Trump and the Trump administration to this point, but they would have to get 60 senators in line, including at least 10 Republicans in line in order to do that. So to do that, there actually has to be some like really outward and public criticism on the right of Mitch McConnell and other Republican senators. And that's what seems really unlikely, even though they would really like to get to that point where they could vote to exclude Trump from running again.
Nate Bauer directs the University of Alaska Press, and Alexander Hirsch teaches political science at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm Robert Hannon.